The sector was there. Like the other one, it proved safe to use. Ryan led the way up the iron stairs. He guessed that there was probably a bank of elevators that they could have used to reach the ground level and the way out of the place, but he had a well-founded dislike and mistrust of elevators. At least nobody could jam a staircase with him on it, or cut the cables and send him plummeting 1,000 feet. He looked up, seeing the silver-painted steps spiraling for at least another 100 feet. But that didn't give him much of a clue to how many floors that distance might mean, as all of the redoubts in the network were built to incredibly high security defensive specifications. The rest of the group was strung out below him. Trader had always insisted that any patrol should stick to the best pace of the slowest member of the unit. A situation where someone was being pushed that little bit beyond his or her limits meant danger for everyone. And Doc was the slowest in this unit.
I don't suppose we might stop when we reach the top of the stairs, Master Corder?
I think we can take 5 after we get through the next door, Doc.
You are truly a saint in human form, my friend.
On the other side of the door was a winding corridor. Ryan studied the new plans.
One more floor and we should be up at ground level.
Anyone smell anything?
What? I can't pick anything up. What is it?
Cooking meat. Faint and far. Maybe outside the redoubt. Main doors could be open.
Yeah, Jack's right, Dad. Someone's roasting meat.
Nobody else had a good enough sense of smell to catch the elusive scent, but Ryan believed Jack and his son. The winding corridor was marked on the plan as being only for alternatively abled personnel.
Wheelchairs.
Ryan led the group up the gentle incline. About halfway up, Jack slowed.
Smell of cooking stronger.
Think I can smell it, like a barbecue on a Pleasant Valley Sunday. Yeah, I'm sure of it. Can you smell it, John?
JB stood still, pushing his battered fedora back off his forehead.
Not sure. Maybe I can only smell what you've said I should be able to smell.
It's strong.
Must mean someone's inside the redoubt.
Ryan rubbed at the stubble on his chin with his thumb and forefinger while he considered the implications.
Odds are they're going to be hostiles. Get our shooting in first if we have to.
The outer wall of the circling ramp was badly scuffed at about 18 inches from the dark brown carpet tiles, and at one point they found that the white plastic handrail had been pulled loose from the wall.
Must have had a lot of crips.
Crips is not a good word for people who are disabled in some way, Dean.
But everyone calls them crips, Mildred.
And everyone once called black people like me niggers, Dean. Saying it doesn't make it right.
I'm sorry.
They finally reached the top of the winding ramp.
Another door.
This should be the level with the main entrance. And even I can smell that meat roasting.
Buffalo.
Now you're bluffing us, Jack. Granted, it's meat, but it could be snake or gator or possum.
I tell you, it buffalo.
Soon find out.
Ryan stood on the wide landing in front of the sector.
Gotta be real close to us.
Now the cooking smell was so overwhelming that Ryan found himself salivating.
Here we go. Soon as the door opens, we all fan out on both sides and keep on triple red. Can't see anyone through the crack. Some smoke wreathing by.
Ryan was the first to step into the wide open area, with a ceiling at least 40 feet above. He moved right and flattened himself against the wall, while the others poured out, their guns at the ready. A heavy pall of cooking smoke billowed a few yards in front of them.
Who the fuck are you?
Ryan drew an instant bead on the voice, homing in on it toward the left of the mushrooming cloud of smoke. He held his fire for the moment.
Who the fuck are you?
The owner of the voice had apparently moved several paces to his right. Ryan adjusted his aim, his friends doing the same thing.
Who the fuck are you?
JB gestured with the Uzi, indicating that he could put it on full auto and spray the whole area behind the dense white smoke. Ryan shook his head, pointing for everyone to spread out a little more on both sides. The smoke billowed around, rising in wraiths toward the high ceiling of the redoubt. From the design of that section of the complex, Ryan guessed that they were standing in the main entrance area, with the huge sectors hidden somewhere beyond the cooking fire.
Hear ya. Gonna come get you. Guards of the redoubt warn you to fuck off out of here right now.
Ryan glanced at JB and held up 2 fingers of his left hand. Though the voices were identical, it was obvious now that there were at least 2 men behind the screen of smoke. Since they hadn't yet opened fire, it was a fair bet that they weren't going to. A man who came to talk did some talking. A man who came to shoot did some shooting.
We don't mean any harm.
Ryan glimpsed someone moving behind the smoke.
How do we know that, Outlander?
Because they don't tell lies. That meat smells real good, and we haven't eaten for a spell. Mind if we join you?
Join us?
Sure. Why don't you show yourselves, and you can see us, and we'll all know that there's not going to be any blasting.
We could fucking blast you clean off Deathlands.
Sure you could. But we don't want to play the game of who's got the biggest and strongest.
But we got fucking biggest and strongest blasters.
Sure you have. All we got is a 7.62mm Steyr rifle, an Uzi machine pistol, a Sig Sauer 9mm automatic, a Smith & Wesson M4000 scattergun, and about five other big hand blasters. Not much.
We won't play unless we got the biggest and bestest. We won't fucking play.
It's not a game.
It's not?
My dear friends, I hate to betray any sense of urgency, but I worry that the meat could be cooking a little too well.
Buffalo's boning.
How many of you?
Seven.
Any women? I haven't seen women in here for fucking years. Can't remember how long.
Ryan was beginning to lose patience and considered making a fast flanking move to come in through the smoke behind whoever they were talking to and take them out.
We have two women, and they've both got good blasters.
No shit.
Just walk out and look, or we'll come in through the smoke and show you.
No, guards of the redoubt are in charge. Yes, we are. We'll fucking come out and see you now. Yes, we will.
Two figures, dimly seen, walked together, stepping slowly left and right and left. The smoke pulled back like a theater curtain, revealing the guards of the redoubt to Ryan and the others. They were identical twins, looking to be in their early 20s, with boyish features. They both wore green and brown camouflage shirts with sleeves rolled well up and pants with highly polished combat boots. They both had handguns holstered at the waist, Smith & Wesson Model 29S with the rare 5-inch barrels, chambered for 44 Magnum rounds. But neither of the young men had made any effort to draw his weapon. They were pale and soft-faced, with straw-colored hair trimmed short. Their eyebrows were so faint they almost disappeared over bright blue eyes. Both of them wore identical Zapata mustaches, and both stood 6 feet tall.
Symptoms of rad sickness.
The moment she mentioned it, Ryan saw the signs for himself. They were common enough in Deathlands, particularly in some of the more notorious rad hotspots. Purplish patches across the arms, particularly on the inside of the forearms. Tight lines to the face, and a general tautness, as though they'd been dieting too hard. Sores around the corners of the mouth, and threads of blood rimming the fingernails. Those that remained.
Outlanders, I'm Titus of the Redoubt Guard. This is my brother Mervin of the Redoubt Guard. Yes, we are.
There was something about them that caught Ryan's attention. Something above and beyond their obvious physical condition. Something mental. Their eyes were bright, but they didn't seem to reveal any intelligence behind them. And there was a deliberate slowness about the way they moved in sluggish unison.
I'm Ryan Carter. These are my good friends, Christy Roth, J.B. Dix, Mildred Wyeth, Doc Tanner, Jack Lauren, and my son Dean. We're Outlanders and seem to have gotten ourselves lost. Where are we?
How you fucking get in here?
Well, Titus. By the way, what's your other name?
Other?
Do you have another name after Titus?
Titus of the Redoubt Guard. That what you mean, Outlander?
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant. How do you think we got in here?
That's a good one, Mervin. Yeah, Titus, that's a good one. Seems we don't know the answer to that one, Outlander. Tell us.
Through the door at the front.
Both foreheads wrinkled, and both men raised hands to stroke their chins. The idea of someone making their way into the redoubt through the front door was a thought too far.
Someone told me the code.
You know about the 3 and 5 and 2?
Sure. A man called Traitor told me, years ago. And 2 and 5 and 3 to close the sector.
How does he know that, Mervin? Don't know, Titus. He said that someone told him, didn't he? Fucked if I remember, Mervin. Biggest secret we was ever told by Pa and his Pa. Goes back to the days of the first fathers and first mothers and children. And those Outlanders know it. It must be all right, Mervin. Only us guards know it. Must be kin to us,
I guess they must.
Distant cousins is my guess, Mervin and Titus. Now, how about some of that meat for your visiting cousins, huh?
Buffalo.
See? Told you.
The meat was fine. The buffalo ribs were just a little blackened around the edges. The fire had been built more or less in the center of the concrete floor, surrounded by scorched beams of concrete. The smoke found its way to the ceiling, where the air conditioning got rid of it. The brothers sat cross-legged, each with a plate of meat on his lap, across from the Outlanders. Ryan noticed that all their plates were stamped with the U.S. Army markings.
How long you boys lived here?
All our days. Yeah, all our fucking days.
How old are you?
Both heads swiveled toward Dean like linked gun turrets, both pairs of eyes examining him curiously.
Don't know. Old as our teeth.
You had family?
Titus and Mervin looked at each other for at least a minute, as though they were communicating telepathically.
You tell him how it was, Mervin.
Mervin folded his hands in his lap and closed his eyes.
Sky dark came and everyone ran from the redoubt. Many slept forever. After this came long winters when the land slept. First father and mother with the guard children came to the redoubt from the small house place. They found 3-5-2 after many days of counting, and open came the great doors. They found 2-5-3, and the doors closed. This was the power. Amen. So it was. Guards forever. First father and mother slept. The children slept. Then came second fathers and mothers and children. After long winters, they slept. But always guards. Yeah. Always fucking guards. Don't say fucking here. Say it the right-speaking way. All was well, and this was home for many children and many fathers and mothers. Then came the day of the fire, and white smoke in the heart of the redoubt. Ever after, many fathers and mothers sleep younger, and less children barning.
There was a long stillness. Ryan wasn't sure if the saga was over as he looked at the others.
Skydar came and the place was evacuated. Local people from a nearby ville came here. Experimented for some time and stumbled on the number code.
A short and simple one that wouldn't have taken an infinity of choices.
Right. Everyone lived here. Good protection once they mastered the outer doors. Looks like they never got deeper into the section toward the gateway. Then there was a fire?
Could have been a nuke meltdown in part of the redoubt. Account for the lack of babies and the rad sickness. These two look like they're the last of the line of self-appointed guards to the redoubt.
Guards of the redoubt! We have task of keeping the redoubt safe from enemies.
Titus suddenly looked sharply at Ryan.
You are enemies of the redoubt?
Of course not.
Enemies die. When shall that be? On the day of enemies. Who shall do it? The guards.
The two men gave themselves a round of applause while looking expectantly at the companions.
Well, that was something. You got sleeping places? Be real honored if we could stay a night.
Ryan glanced at the tiny rad counter that he wore in his lapel, seeing that it was shading from yellow toward orange, lending credibility to Christie's theory of a nuke leak.
Showing highest, JB.
Probably risk staying one night.
Why not? We'll have shelter for the night, and then move on after dawn.
Titus and Mervin exchanged stares, both nodding at precisely the same second.
We got plenty of beds. You're friends of the redoubt, and you're all friends of the guards.
Hot pipe! Any more of that buffalo meat left?
They all walked up a corridor for about 100 yards, straight into the domestic heart of the old redoubt, into the dormitories and living quarters of the complex. Titus and Mervin strutted together, perfectly in step.
These are the washing facilities, and this room is where we get our guard clothing.
No weapons?
Got our blasters. Father of fathers said there was more. They all got lost or broke. Only got some small bits of ammo left now.
Guards don't fucking tell Outlanders shit like that, Mervin.
Sorry, Titus.
We guards of the redoubt got plenty of ammo, right, Mervin?
Sure as shit, Titus.
Sure you do. Those are the sleeping quarters just ahead of us. You guards sleep in there?
Yeah, we do. But there's plenty of beds for all. Go look.
There were 5 long rooms, each with about 20 iron beds, each bed with its own small footlocker. The mattresses, sealed in plastic, were in a separate room farther along the white-painted passage. Ryan had seen similar sections in redoubts that had only been partially evacuated during the days immediately before or after Skydark. Once Titus and Mervyn had shown them where they could sleep, the brothers seemed keen to head off on their own again.
Hey!
What?
You know where we are?
A look of contempt crossed both placid faces.
Of course.
Where?
Here.
Thanks for clearing that up.
There was no hot water, and the cold flowed from the taps with a grudging trickle, carrying with it the remains of myriad tiny insects.
Looks like the boys aren't that hot on washing in here.
I was close to Mervyn, and he was smelling kind of ripe. Maybe it was the heating system that went west and caused the rot
leak. I reckon the best we can do is take a rest as soon as possible. Then rise early and get out of the main gates. Find out where in Deathlands we are. Don't want to linger with the rat count high as it is.
It's taken its toll on the brothers. They got all the signs of being inbred from the original folks that found their way into the redoubt. The way they look, I wouldn't want to lay too much jack on their being around in another 3 months.
Phew. Trip or creepy?
Creepy is a better than adequate word to describe the siblings, my young fellow. They are as strange a couple as I've seen in many a day's march. The Gog and Magog of Deathlands. Old brother right and old brother wrong. Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Both Ossa and
Pelly. You're running off at the mouth again, Doc.
Really? Oh, then it would appear that apologies are in order.
Never apologize, Doc. It's a sign of weakness.
Whoa!
Dee, what's wrong?
The shitter in here has a jet of water that gushes up and cleans your ass for you. So strong, it sort of feels like it's going to push your ass clean out of the top of your head.
Oh, the sooner that stripling gets a decent education, the better for him and for all of us.
You're right, Doc.
Ryan glanced at his wrist chron.
All right, friends, that's enough. Let's get some quality sleep.
Ryan and Christy found the stillness in the farthest of the dormitories to be lovely, dark and deep. Ryan ran the tip of his tongue around his lover's nipple, making it stand up, hard and hot.
I hate to be a party pooper, but I'm feeling real tired. I think twice is gonna have to be enough for tonight.
Ryan laid his head on her magnificent breasts.
I guess you're right. Out in a few hours to find. Who knows? Just that it makes a good change to have a reasonable bed and reasonable security for a night.
I know.
Christy stroked Ryan's cheek.
You could do with a shave.
There were razors in the bathroom, still sealed in that shrink wrap stuff.
Cold water, lover. Maybe wait until we get somewhere that's got hot water.
No. If there's hot water, there won't be decent blades. Those pre-dark white coats sure knew about putting an edge on fine steel.
All right. Certainly make you a little less ugly.
Didn't act like I was so ugly a few minutes ago.
Ryan's grin was white in the glow of the all-night sec lights.
Then was then, and now is now, lover.
Suddenly, Christy threw her arms around Ryan, holding him tight.
Be careful, Ryan.
Shaving?
You know what I mean.
Always am. But why especially now? You got a feeling about the Stoop brothers?
I think of them as the Smelly brothers, but Stoop will do. Yeah, there's a bad feeling. Like it's set on the back burner, but that doesn't mean there might not be trouble from them.
Ryan swung his legs out of bed. Feeling reasonably secure, he had stripped off his clothes. He found his shirt and underpants and eased them on.
Well, I'll look out for the boys. I'm gonna have a piss and a shave. I'll be back soon.
Ryan picked up the 18-inch panga, just in case. Carrying the blade in its sheath, he walked into the night's silent redoubt. A narrow passage ran alongside the dormitories, so Ryan could get to the bathroom without having to disturb everyone else. He walked past the open doors to the other large rooms. The only sounds came from Doc. The old man slept in a dormitory along with Jack and Dean. Mildred and JB were together in the third of the row of rooms, which left the last one, closest to the bathroom and the main entrance, to Titus and Mervyn. Dean had done some sneaking around earlier. He had come back to report that the brothers' dormitory was like an animal's den, filled with dried branches and skins of beaver, wolf, and bear. The remnants of innumerable cooking fires were in the center of the room, which contained only two beds. The rank smell came wafting out of the room as Ryan padded by, but no one inside it moved. There was a plastic one-use container of foam soap by the sink. The container of foam had only given out a feeble dribble of slime. Shaving with cold water was almost as uncomfortable as Christy had warned. Ryan rubbed his hand over his stubble-free chin.
Better.
He looked up at himself in the discolored mirror, seeing the tight lines around his eyes and mouth. Not for the first time, he could glimpse his father in the mirror. Something moved behind Ryan, and he spun, facing the twin muzzles of the two Magnum revolvers held steady in the hands of Titus and Mervyn. They stood together in the doorway, less than 20 feet away, separated from him by another row of waist-high basins. Ryan glanced at the sheathed Panga, resting on the third basin along the line to the right.
Fire blast.
Guards of the redoubt, present and defending. Protect redoubt against outlander enemies.